Hello, everyone. This is Rev Paul with Miracles One, and welcome to another episode of Miracle Flights. Today, we're going to take a look at how this pilot can execute an unusual attitude recovery and how it relates to the first obstacle to peace in A Course in Miracles. So grab your course books, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this week's Miracle Flight, Rising Above to See Only Love. And today we're going to take a look at how being in an unusual attitude like this pilot is. If you take a look here, you can see this plane is completely upside down. The airport's down here in the distance. And this is a maneuver that we actually practice and we teach pilots how to recover from, not to this extreme. This is probably an aerobatic pilot, but when you go through flight training, one of the things you do is you learn how to recover from unusual attitudes. In this particular situation, inside the cockpit, what the pilot can see, these are the flight instruments. It's called your basic six-pack of flight instruments. We see we have the airspeed indicator up here. And when an airplane is kind of in a diving, banking unusual attitude, like this, like these instruments are indicating, the airspeed is decreasing. That dial in at airspeed is decreasing. Your attitude indicator in the middle shows that that little red airplane in the middle there is showing a diving left-hand turn. And then we have over here, the altimeter is at 3,750 feet. And those needles are actually moving counterclockwise and decreasing because he's diving. This turn coordinator showing that the airplane is in a bank to the left. The heading indicator in the middle here is going to be spinning around in circles. And then over here, this last instrument, which is right there, is called a vertical speed indicator, showing about 800 feet per minute rate of descent. What that looks like from outside of the aircraft is kind of, well, the one on the right here, that's showing a picture of an airplane in a bank, a banking descending turn. And then we've got one up here that's showing a climbing banking decelerating kind of situation. These are called unusual attitudes. We do these with student pilots. Here, I'm going to show you a picture. Right here is a picture of an instructor with a student pilot over here. The student pilot has a view limiting device that restricts their vision from outside of the aircraft so that they look solely at the instruments on the inside of the aircraft. And we actually practice, when we're working with students, we practice putting them into those kind of unusual attitudes. We'll have them close their eyes, put their head down, and then we maneuver the airplane into one of those unusual attitudes. And then we say, all right, look up at your flight instruments, take the flight controls back, and recover the airplane back to normal, straight, and level flight. So how does this tie in with A Course in Miracles? Well, the reason we practice that with students is sometimes it's an emergency recovery kind of procedure. And sometimes, very rarely I would say, but sometimes a potential situation that could happen is that someone could inadvertently fly into the clouds when they're not supposed to. And when they fly into the clouds, there's no way to look outside the aircraft to get an idea of what attitude it's in, what heading to go, right? And so we use those view limiting devices to kind of simulate that someone accidentally went into the clouds and can't see outside and they don't know which way to go. And now, and then the aircraft kind of gets into a crazy attitude and they have to learn how to come inside the cockpit, look at the instruments, interpret the instruments, and use their training and manipulate the flight controls, the throttle, and the rudder pedals in a manner to bring the aircraft back into normal, straight, and level flight through the clouds to get them out of the clouds. All right. When we talk about the obstacles to peace, the first obstacle is the desire to get rid of peace. And in this particular, the beginning of this particular section, there are several key points that Jesus shares with us. He reminds us that we are the center from which peace radiates outward to call the others in. We kind of touched on that on the last miracle flight when we talked about VORs sending out a navigation signal and then the pilots follow those navigation signals to come back home. We're doing the same thing as sons and daughters of God. We've got peace that was imbued inside of us in our creation, and it's constantly there. It's constantly trying to radiate out into the world to call not only ourselves home, but to call others home as well. However, we have a desire to pretend to live in a separate body from everyone else. And because of this desire, that is the first obstacle to peace. We have a curiosity about the experience of being in a body isolated from others. And because of that attraction, it's actually set in a different way. It's a desire to get rid of peace because of this desire to experience ourselves in a separate and isolated body, we're blocking the experience of that peace that's trying to radiate out from the inside of us. Although the Holy Spirit's purpose rests in peace within us, we are still unwilling to let it join with us wholly. We're attracted to what's going on with the body and what's going on outside in the world, and we're unconsciously blocking it from radiating. We don't want to let it radiate out and join with it. Our purpose is not to be afraid of the obstacle of separation, but instead to allow the Holy Spirit to extend the miracle of the holy relationship through us to others. As we allow the light of peace within us to come forth, the miracle of it will easily begin to heal the illusion of separation and restore to our awareness the experience of heaven. Jesus touches on this idea that we have this desire to get rid of peace because we're attracted to this separation experience here, and it feels like a difficult problem for us. But he's indicating that it's not really a difficult problem when we work with the Holy Spirit to heal it. And that is key. That is the key to success, is to go within and to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to heal this belief and perception of the experience of the illusion of separation that we all have. And as it comes forth, that miracle of light, that miracle of the holy relationship, it will start to heal that problem very easily. And as that happens, the awareness that heaven is already inside of us will begin to be revealed to us over time. This is the awakening process. He continues on with a subsection here in the obstacles to peace, which is the attraction of guilt. there's a part of our mind that is attracted to the experience of the isolation within a body. And this attraction makes us feel unconsciously guilty. And that's because there's a part of us, there's a part of our mind that we're not aware of, because we're kind of in a amnesia, state of amnesia, and we're kind of sleeping here. We're caught in the matrix. But there's a part of our mind that knows that we came from heaven and that we're doing this to ourselves. And we unconsciously feel guilty about it. We're curious and we're attracted about this experience in the body here. And there's a corresponding unconscious guilt that goes along with that. He says, he kind of talks about this idea that the secret to experiencing love is to ignore everything else and see only love. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit puts on his own type of hood or view limiting device. And it allows him, it's a filter. It filters everything else out, and all he does is focus on love, on the love that's inside of others. And we're being asked to allow the Holy Spirit to come through us and work with us to help us to learn how to do that, to put that particular view limiting device on, and to learn how to look beyond others and into them with the Holy Spirit and to see only love. That's the secret to learning how to begin to really start experiencing love for ourselves, is we got to learn how to see it within ourselves and in others with his help. The secret to experiencing guilt, on the other hand, is to completely ignore love and see only separation. This is the ego's view limiting device and hood. And the ego does the exact opposite. The ego thought system, mind, it blocks love out and allows us to only see fear, chaos, turmoil, anxiety, judgment, criticism, all that stuff. In both cases, a choice is made to put a filter on, to put a view limiting device on. One filters out the illusion of separation, and the other filters out the truth that everyone is one. He goes on to talk about the ego's filter or view limiting device and how it kind of works. The attraction to fear's messages within the world is very strong, and therefore the unconscious guilt we experience correspondingly intensifies. It is a cyclical mind trap. All right. With that hood on, we get stuck in this cyclical mind trap. These messages go out into the world and then they come back to us, and they're all founded upon fear. Here's a quote. The messengers of fear are harshly ordered to seek out guilt and cherish every scrap of evil and of sin that they can find, losing none of them on pain of death. That's the mind trap we're caught in now. We are in a constant, unusual attitude with the ego thought system. Our world, our minds are completely turned upside down. Those dials and instruments in our head, they're all spinning around in different directions. And all of that fear and hatred and anger from this separation experience that's kind of going on underneath with all this guilt, you know, the ego saves it all the way until the death of the body. And then it offers it, he says, it offers it to like our master and Lord, the ego, and nothing comes of it. It was all a waste of time and put us through a lot of pain and anguish unnecessarily. And that's the way the ego thought system works. It wants to take control of our route of flight and steer us off the wrong route into the clouds and get us turned upside down, get all our dials spinning in our head. And we're just going like this with the flight controls. We don't know how to get out of it. We're buying into it. We don't know how to recover from that unusual attitude with the ego thought system. It will never teach us how to do it. It doesn't want us to get out of the clouds, out of the confusion. So what do we do? He says, well, if you take off that view limiting device, the ego's one, and you put on the Holy Spirit's one, and you tune into them, then the Holy Spirit is going to start sending out different messages. He's going to help you to see the way he sees, how he looks through all of that and looks only for love. Here's a quote on how that works. Quote, if you send forth only the messengers the Holy Spirit gives you, wanting no messages but theirs, you will see fear no more. The world will be transformed before your sight, cleansed of all guilt, and softly brushed away with beauty. So as we go within to look at the flight instrument panel that Holy Spirit has, he's going to give us instructions. It's kind of like tuning to a different frequency on the radio and calling air traffic control and saying, hey, I'm in the clouds. I'm in an unusual attitude. I need some help recovering. And then the Holy Spirit, as we listen to him, tune into him for his insights and wisdom, he gives us a heading to follow, and we begin to apply the training, the lessons that we've been learning from the workbook and for students. We're learning how to tune into and listen to the Holy Spirit, and then he'll give us that course correction. We're learning how to look at those instruments and stop all those dials from spinning, to manipulate the yoke in a way to correct it and stop it, to manipulate the throttle on the aircraft to stop it, to manipulate the rudder pedals to stop it. And as we do that, as we apply what the Holy Spirit is giving us, he's going to give us a heading and an altitude and an airspeed that settles everything down, right? It brings us back upright into a stable, normal, peaceful, safe flight. And he gently brings us out of the clouds and gets us into friendlier skies. That's the gifts that we will get from the Holy Spirit. Our lives will become more peaceful. They'll become happier and safer. And all of those blessings that go along with it. So the desire for communion with the Holy Spirit and each other and with Jesus is the secret to getting out of that cyclical mind trap that the ego has us caught in, that constant unusual attitude. We got to have a desire to want to start to connect with everyone on a spiritual level. This state of mind means that we are beginning to forgive the illusion of separation. Holy Spirit, help me to see beyond this. Let me see this person differently. Show me what's inside of them. Show me the Spirit of God inside of them. Help me to see that and remind me. Get me out of this unusual attitude of criticism, judgment, hatred, anger. Show me that we are one, and He will. That's the gifts. That's one of the many gifts that the Holy Spirit has to offer us. Use the Holy Spirit to help us to get into this state of mind, which is the desire for communion within the mind. Jesus ends the whole section with this quote. Communion is another kind of completion, which goes beyond guilt because it goes beyond the body. That is the key to success in getting out of an unusual attitude with the ego thought system. Instead of having a desire to get rid of peace, we want to change our minds and start having a desire to commune with peace by calling upon the Holy Spirit within us and helping us to see that, to feel it, to experience it, to guide us out of it, guide us out of that unusual attitude. So there you go. Okay, so now that we've recapped all of those key points and concepts from our readings that we went through last week, what I'd like you to do is to continue to build on that this week by reading and studying and discussing with your course friends the second obstacle to peace, which is titled, The Belief the Body is Valuable for What It Offers. And within that, there's also a subsection, which is The Attraction of Pain. So read through those readings this week with your study group friends or on your own. And you'll notice that Jesus is going to continue to build on this problem of separation. Here he talks about how the body is really valuable to us. And it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. You're going to see that. We're going to talk about that more next week with our next Miracle Flight. So thank you for joining with me. I wish everyone friendly skies. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.